Miller's Roundtable audio blog. One of the key elements in business success, and certainly life in general, is the ability for leadership. Rarely is leadership taught in business schools, and in most cases, it's an on-the-job process of learning how to lead. One of the best laboratories for learning and understanding leadership is in the military, and a case in point is our guest, Alan Snyder, Chief Master Sergeant, United States Air Force, retired. Let me introduce Al to our audience. Al retired from active duty United States Air Force after a 30-year career. He joined right out of high school, became a meteorologist, and eventually rose to become one of the most senior enlisted men in the Air Force. Al served as command chief for 6 years while he was responsible for 2,500 enlisted men and women in diverse locations all over the globe, serving the 4th Weather Wing. Prior to his position of command chief, he was selected to serve 3 years within a unique group called the Leadership and Management Development Center, or LMDC. Much like a management consulting company in the private sector, Al and members of his group were invited to diagnose and correct internal problems identified by Air Force commanders, who needed an outsider's eye and the authority to make changes within the established chain of command. Sort of a management SWAT team within the U.S. Air Force. Chief Al earned a reputation for getting things done, and in time, Al became responsible for the training curriculum where he taught incoming members of the management and leadership team. After retiring from active duty, Al took his leadership experience to a field totally unfamiliar to him, credit and collections. Beginning as a frontline accounts manager, he eventually retired for a second time as Director of Legal Operations for the 10th largest collection agency in the U.S. Now, this is a lot of background, I know, but I want you to know that Al Snyder possesses unique skills and experience as a manager and organizational leader in both military and civilian worlds. He also possesses a unique ability to articulate his experiences. So, Al, welcome to our broadcast.
Welcome, everyone, to our conversation with Chief Master Sergeant retired, Alan Snyder. And Chief Al, as I have come to call you, welcome to you.
Well, thank you, Rod. Pleasure to be here.
Well, there's a lot of information out about what makes a good leader. Some of it suggests that you either have the leadership gene or you don't. We all know someone who has the ability to influence us, but that may be more of an issue with charisma than with leadership skills. One of the key messages we want to convey in our conversation today is that leadership skills can be learned. That's the good news for companies and organizations of all sizes and the managers and directors involved with them. So Chief Al, give some of your thoughts about that. What are some of the basic skills that leaders must learn to be effective?
Rod, being a good follower. And we've all heard the old phrase that to be a good leader, you must be a good follower. What does it actually mean? And before I jump into that, I'd like to comment on what you said about born leaders and what have you. I don't believe anybody is born to be a leader or not be a leader. I believe that you may have been born with some propensity for it, or you may have just grown older with that propensity for it. But I think anybody can learn to be a good leader, and if they practice some basics, whether they've learned it through academics or whether they've learned it on the job watching other leaders, I believe that anybody can learn to be an effective leader. They just have to be willing to work at it and pay attention to it. So under the heading of being a good follower, what does it actually mean? Well, to me, it means that you need to make sure your own personal goals align with those of your supervisor and the company that you work for. That's important because sometimes your personal goals begin to go one direction, and those aren't the direction of your supervisor or the company. And as those diverge, you're going to find yourself out on a lonely path going perhaps towards what's not a common goal of the company, and you won't be seen as a team player. You'll be seen as somebody who's more interested in their forwarding their own career towards their own personal goals. Remember, your boss, your supervisor, is the one, your company, that's the entity that pays you. And if they're going to pay you, you need to give them your loyalty. So make sure your first priority as a worker is to embrace your supervisor's guidance and goals. I can give you an example of that. As I recall, it happened early in my tenure as a command chief. But my commander, whom I worked directly for as his advisor, decided that he wanted to change a particular policy within the wing having to do with training of our people. And for the enlisted people, that's 80% of the wing, I looked at his suggestion and his plan, and I thought it probably wasn't the smartest way to go. So I sat down with him and explained my misgivings and why I thought that was wrong. And there were actually three sessions in which I tried with increasing degrees of passion on my part because I thought it wasn't going to work well for the folks that I was in charge of, which was a lot of enlisted people. So I tried as best I could, and I could not dissuade him from doing it. A couple of discussions were behind closed doors, and they were pretty heated, but the bottom line was that he finally decided that we were going to do it his way, and it came down to me to take the next step, which was to help him implement it. So when we rolled out this new policy and introduced it, my job was to introduce it to 80% of the wing, the enlisted people, and I had to introduce it as our new policy, not as his policy. You don't ever take something, even if you don't like it, if it's from higher up in the organization, if it's from your boss, it's not right to sidestep it and say, well, this is the boss's change, this is his new policy. I'm not sure I agree with it, but here it is. We all have to do it. Don't ever do that. It's always our policy. So, you know, boss and I have thought a lot about this. This is the change we want to make. We're going to put it into effect. Here's how it's going to work. It becomes our policy. Be loyal to your boss. That's the person that gets you promoted, gets you paid, and helps you keep your job. If you can't, at some point in your job, if you can no longer affect change in the organization, and you no longer respect your supervisor's leadership or your company's goals, then to be honest, it's time to look for another employment opportunity. Don't stay on and continue to be unhappy and gripe about it. If you can't change, affect a change within your work group or the company, then it's time to move on. As a postscript to this, I would add one thing. I'd like to say that a few months into the process after we rolled out this new program change, I was able to go back to him and say, see, it's not working, I told you so, which would have been unprofessional, but I suppose on occasion not beyond me. Anyway, the truth of the matter is, a few months into the project, I had to go back to him and say, well, much as it pains me, boss, you were right. It worked out really well, and I'm glad we did it your way. So that's kind of my thoughts on being a good follower.
That's great.
I'd kind of like to dovetail that in and move on to another subject because I know we didn't take too awfully long on that. And perhaps we can go through a second subject that's close to my heart. And I think it should be extremely close to yours if you're going to be any kind of effective leader. And it's called Listening Well, or active and effective listening. It's estimated that perhaps 80% or more of the world's problems result from poor communication. In this case, we're talking about the communication between you and your people, and in particular, your people or the peers of yourself in an organization or your superiors. And effective listening is what you have to do, and you have to be actively engaged in it. So first, remember this. When somebody's talking to you, please remember this. whatever they're saying, no matter how much you may disagree, it is important to them, or they wouldn't be saying it. So it should be important to you as well. And you can reaffirm that in their mind by doing various things. For instance, making eye contact. It's always difficult to know how a person is receiving your message, or, and in this case, it would be them talking to you, so how are you receiving it? Well, it's always difficult to know if you're not looking at the individual, if they're not looking back at you and you can see signs of comprehension or perhaps confusion or misunderstanding, and you can ask questions to correct that. So always give them eye contact. It doesn't have to be full on 100%, but the eyes should make contact routinely during the conversation. And you should use affirming words and sounds, such as, uh-huh, yes, right, okay, anything along that line to show them that you're paying attention to what they're saying. If you need to clarify things, when you go to exploratory questions, try to stay away from the yes and no things, because the yes and no simply allows them to say one word and that's it. And if all you want is a one-word answer, you'll get it. But if you want more information, you want them to expand on something, or you're not clear about what they're talking about, then go to the W words for the most part, with one exception being how. But use the words what, where, when, and how. Those are open-ended question words. They'll invite the individual then to expand on their previous remarks, and it'll get you more information and clarification. Another thing I want to comment on here, and I feel very strongly about this. I've just seen it fail too many times. I've been on the receiving end of it, and fortunately once or twice, probably more that I don't know of. I've also been on the wrong end, the one who did it. The human brain seems to have an on-off switch or a two-way switch. One is to send, one is to receive. If you think you can effectively send a message or effectively hear a message and listen to it and talk at the same time, you're sadly mistaken. And if you think you can say something and effectively listen at the same time, you're also mistaken. It's not going to be that good. And besides, if that individual's talking to you and you've begun to talk over them back, then that indicates to them that whatever they're saying isn't important enough for them, for you to be quiet and listen. You're just going to keep on talking over them. It's not a message that you want to send. Also, you want to put away external things. How many times, just think of this example, how many times have you gone into a boss's office and talked to him or her, and while you're there, you've got a boss who's reading texts or sending texts, or they're suddenly on the computer reading emails coming in or out, or they've taken the ever-popular cell phone call. And these things are all interrupting the flow of conversation between you and them. At a point in this, you will begin to feel, and it's pretty early on, that you aren't nearly as important as the text message, what's on the computer, the phone call, or whatever else. And at some point, you'll get pretty tired of that. So as a boss, I'm going to suggest to you when somebody comes into your office to talk to you, turn away from the computer. Try not to do anything with the cell phone. If you do and you have to take a phone call or you have to answer a message because it's timely, at least apologize to the individual in your office and say, I'm sorry, it's important what you have to say, but I've got to answer this very quickly, so please bear with me, or words to that effect. So remember, when your follower or peer is in your office, you know, put it down, put it away, leave it alone, establish eye contact, and shut up and pay attention to them, because what they have to say is important to them, and it may just be important to you too.
Thanks, Al, for getting us started with a couple of the keystones of good leadership. Becoming an engaged member of the team, a follower, as you said. That means buy-in to the organization's goals. A second keystone is understanding the dynamics of listening well to both those who supervise you and those you may someday supervise. In our next segment, Al will describe his list of things, the mental notes he took in his head that would help him in his future leadership assignments. Great information for current and future leaders coming up. So join us for segment 2 of our conversation with Al Snyder. We're just getting started.